Father can change them, and all the wounds you sustained here today, Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide may rise.
Well, I come from out of town and I've traveled many miles. Scraven's Big Valley Jamboree. Yes, I am the Bud Man by Jordan on the grandstand. Sing my song, keep good company. Now don't be shy to say hello to a person you don't know. You could do a Texas two-step, maybe dance kind of like Joel. Leave your worries far behind, you got the heels. Clap in time, let the music take you. Enjoy the country show. Well, I'm craving for the sun to shine. I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine. And we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you. You must know that I'm not from Texas. I don't come from Nashville, Tennessee. I was born and raised on these western plains. So come on, sing along with me. Oh, come on, boys. I'm craving for the sun to shine, and I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine. And we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you. I'm craving for the sun to shine, and I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine. And we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you. I'm craving for the sun to shine, and I'm hoping you'll be a friend of mine. And we'll dance and we'll sing, have a brew or two. I'm craving for a bud like you.
Guys. sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel and you see him there? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror? Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain, reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. There was a time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 29th day of January, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is greed. And we will have a guest today. Keith from the West Coast will be calling in here shortly. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means All Praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda, Cumriambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces. And we draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there where we put the latest information, and it has to do with everything from prepping to health concerns, political, financial, etc. The home page on the website is where you'll find information if you feel led to help us out financially. And also we have a contact us page if you do not have my personal contact information, email and or phone. You can go to that page and send me a note. Remember that the will of our Father Yahweh will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. Word for the day, of course, dystopia. That's what we live in. And the definition is a state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. Also, we're going to keep saying this quote because it's so important. Richard Buckminster Fuller. You never change things by fighting the existing reality, no matter how dystopic it is. That's my addition. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model, the dystopic one, obsolete. You see, we keep thinking we have to fix Babylon. Doesn't say anywhere in Scripture telling us that we have to fix Babylon. It tells us to get out of it. Let's see. We got another one here. Well, right here. Revelation 18, verse 4. And another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her, what? Sins, meaning violations of Yahweh's law, which this society is violating virtually every law, and in her punishments. Yep, Babylon's going to come down, burn to the ground. I took this off the Telegraph channel of Rabble Rouser some time ago, and it's perfect. Any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately or... Oh, well, let's stop here for a second. Okay, can you hear me, Keith?
Yeah, Dan, how you doing?
Okay, very good. Let me finish this quote I've got here, and then we'll talk.
Sure.
Any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. I was just going through some of my standard quotes and whatnot for today. I don't know if I told you, Keith, but the general topic is going to be greed as well as the things that you're bringing from what your articles and all had. So how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Excellent, excellent. Can you raise your volume just a skosh?
Yep, let me see here. Bear with me a second, Dan.
No problem.
Let's see, whoops, what happened here? Yikes. Oh, hold on a second.
Well, it's not bad. I was just wondering if you could raise it just a tiny bit.
I can't figure out how to get the Skype screen back.
Oh.
It went away. Let me call, I gotta call you right back on this thing. I'm sorry, Dan, I can't get the screen back.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Give me a sec. I'm having problems. Give me a second.
Okay, while we're waiting for Keith to call back in, I want to read some verses that have to do with the subject of greed that I came up with. First Timothy. Oh, that was fast.
Okay.
Oh, much better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's
okay,
better.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Perfect. Okay. Yeah, doing good, man. Been real busy with personal life.
Oh, but, good, I hope.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So, I've kind of, I don't look at as much news as I used to. And, because my whole thought is they're going to do what they're going to do no matter what I look at. I can't prevent any of this from happening. This is all biblical. This is in our Father's hands. It's His plan, His creation, His doings. So I'm not preventing anything from happening. So I took a step back from that, and believe it or not, it's made my life a lot better. I used to spend a lot of time looking at news articles and things of this nature and decided to change a little bit, and it's made my life a lot better. And that's just me personally, right?
Right.
I've been focusing on other things like projects around the house and things like this.
Sweet. Yep, sometimes you do have to step back from it or it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah, it sure does, and I've done that multiple times, and I've done it for up to, well, the longest I could go was about 3 or 4 months. And then I sort of have to dive back in, you know, 100%, and because it's hard to, well, once people understand what is happening and what's going on and understand who's who in the Bible and understand who's who in this world we live in, it's impossible to ignore it. It can't be done. It's impossible. You know, so which is one reason why I think a lot of people, when you bring this up to them, that this, we'll just call it a so-called conspiracy, right? This giant conspiracy that we live under. And conspiracy is not a bad word. It means a group of people get together and do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this conspiracy, living under it and living within it and with it, is difficult to do, for myself included, because it separates you from the rest of the people out there. They're almost impossible to talk to. All they want to talk about is the weather and the sports ball games and, you know, idiotic, you know, nonsensical, idiotic things such as movies and TV shows and the funny comedian on David Letterman or whatever late shows are on nowadays. It's a very bizarre life. This world, the life is bizarre to me now. Completely bizarre. We are living in a clown world, as people have given that name to this place that we live in, and it's a perfect name for it. And the news articles I've got today will reflect on that. But let's go to the greed topic, Dan. I like that topic that you're going to be discussing today. That's just a little bit of an intro of what I've been doing and how I feel and things like this.
Right, right. Yeah, I picked greed because I've been in a lot of discussions on a lot of different platforms. Hold on just a second. Seems like I got a frog in my throat this morning. Anyway, a lot of platforms, and, you know, it seems like there's a very large number of people that are beginning to see that this world truly is dystopic at this time, and everything is upside down. So I was giving it some thought and prayer as to, you know, how would you boil it down? And greed is what came, the Holy Spirit gave me, greed. And if you think about the definition of greed, it fits perfectly, because in the Bible it's sometimes called greed, but other times it's called covetousness. When you covet what other people have. And that boils from the lack of being satisfied with what Yahweh has given in your life. So greed is excessive desire for materialistic things. If you really think about it, in this world today, what do you really need? You don't need much more than land, because on the land you'll get your water, your food, you'll build your shelter. So if you have shelter from the elements, if you have land to grow your food, you've got clean water to drink, how much more do you need? I mean, you can go out and use animal hides and or fabric from either like cotton or hemp, and you can make your clothing. So, you know, And you can barter for the few things you don't know how to make, because the neighbor down the street might be a blacksmith or a silversmith or a carpenter, you know, so you're really good in the garden. So you go down with a couple bushels of whatever out of your garden and you trade it for some carpentry work or some other kind of work. So when you really think about it, our actual basic needs are pretty simple. But we're not satisfied with that. So now greed, this excessive desire for materialistic things, is driving our people right into the dystopic hell that we live in right now today. At least that's my summation of it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's the old thing, keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Right.
You know, nobody needs a $1,000 Gucci purse. Right. No one needs a $1,000 pair of sneakers. Right. You don't need a $20,000 Rolex watch. But this is what society's come to because it's been designed that way. Right. This goes back to, you know, I think it's gone back to millennia. Right. But let's just start with about 1898 when the protocols were written from the meeting that the learned elders, so-called learned elders of Zion held. Right, about 1890 some odd, you know, in Switzerland, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the protocols came out of that meeting, and they specifically state exactly everything they're going to do, and one of them was in relation to materialism and greed. You know, they would turn the people, the workers, onto materialism and greed, and for lack of a better term, keep up with the Joneses. So they've accomplished that plan rather well. I mean, how many times do you see somebody getting out of a, you know, let's say you're at the grocery store, Dan, and people listening. By the way, good morning, everybody. you know, people, you know, you're at the grocery store and you see some woman get out of a car. You know, normally it's the used, you know, used BMW, right? It's a 10-year-old BMW because they can't afford a new one. So they go and buy a car on a car lot. Excuse me. Gosh. They go and buy a car on a car lot and they decide to choose a 2005 BMW for, you know, $18,000 instead of choosing a 2018 Honda Accord, beautiful vehicle, that's fairly new for the same price because they gotta have that BMW. And then they go to the grocery store in that hunk of crap BMW from 2005 because it barely runs. And they pull into the parking spot. They get out. And what do they have on their arm? A $1,000 Gucci bag.
Mm-hmm.
This is all greed and materialism. That person can't afford anything. But they're trying to impress people with the bag and the car. But anyone who knows cars knows it's a 2005 piece of crap BMW. Right, just because it's a BMW doesn't mean it's a good car, and most BMWs are terrible cars. So that's the problem that we have in this country, and that goes along with greed and covetedness and all that good stuff. And it's only getting worse. It is only getting worse. I see it all the time. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, these people are going out and buying their children these expensive sneakers and all this stuff. The kid's going to grow out of the sneakers in 4 months. But the neighbor's kid has those sneakers, so they got to buy their kid those sneakers instead of taking that additional money and maybe buying maybe helping the kid with a tutor for school, right? Or buying him books to read, or you know, taking him on an educational historical trip to Virginia, right, to see George Washington and Thomas Jefferson's residences. If, you know, these are just examples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. Instead, they go buy, you know, $100 pair of shoes, you know, six times a year for the kid.
Yep.
So well, like, this is the state that we live in, Dan, right?
Oh, yeah. I knew a lady years ago. This was quite a few years ago. She would take her credit cards, and at Christmas time, she would run up anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 buying gifts. And I
was
said,
"Was this a wealthy woman?"
What's that?
A wealthy woman?
No. That was just the whole point. She wasn't wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. And then she would struggle to pay off that tremendous credit card debt for the rest of the year before next Christmas season. And I asked her, I said, you know, first of all, you don't have, you know, much of an income, and yet you're spending this kind of money just trying to appease all of the nephews and nieces and whatnot. She didn't have any children of her own. I said, you know, it's kind of ludicrous. What the hell are you doing? I wanted to read the dictionary definition just so people understand just how serious. When somebody says that they're greedy, a lot of times people don't really understand what that means. Dictionary definition number one, excessive desire to acquire or possess more, parentheses, especially more material wealth, end parentheses, than one needs or deserves. You listening, folks? Number two, reprehensible acquisitiveness, which is a word I hadn't seen before, insatiable desire for wealth, personified as one of the deadly sins. So again, one of the synonyms is covetousness, also avarice and rapacity. So, greed is a very serious thing, and I'd forgotten about it. Yes, it's one of the deadly sins. Deadly because look at the state of our world. All they had to do was convince us that greed was okay. What happened to the leaders of the so-called churchianity, our mainstream churches with these prostitute preachers in them? Why don't they teach against greed? I've been going to, well, I used to go to churches. I haven't been to one in a long time now, but when I was a younger man, I attended all kinds of different Protestant and even Catholic churches and Lutheran churches from time to time. I don't remember a single solitary lecture or sermon against greed. And yet it's one of the deadly sins, and it's driving us like sheep into the corral that the Jew has created, to where we'll sell out our families, we'll sell out our future. And look at how many of our people put that deadly serum in their bodies because of greed, because they wanted to go to a ball game or ride a bus or an airplane or keep their damn job. Go get another job. And here again, why don't you want to change jobs? Well, you know, I'm up the ladder, you know, and I've got like 4 weeks vacation, Dan. Why do I want to start a new job? Because you're putting a poison in your arm, you damn idiot.
Right. Well, Dan, you know the old saying that these people use, he who dies with the most toys wins.
That's what they've got us believing.
You've heard that before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've heard that before. You know, this goes along with the rich man in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes over to, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay? He comes over to Christ, and or Christ walks up to – or no, he comes over to Christ and says, you know, how can I father you, how can I follow you, or how can I get into heaven, right? Something like that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit fussy on this verse, but – you know, how can I get in heaven? And Christ tells him blatantly, sell everything you've got and follow me. And what does the guy do? Doesn't sell anything, continues to live his life.
Exactly.
Because he loves his things.
And,
are things.
I've had some people say, especially this Catholic friend of mine, Alfio, he used to say, yeah, see, poverty is a sign of a true believer. And I just looked at him and I said, what? He goes, well, you know, Francis, Padre Pio, used to teach, in Catholicism, you know, if you really want to show a sign of a good, believer, you should have poverty. So I used to tease him. I said, well, I'm coming over with my pickup truck to your house tonight. And he said, well, why are you going to do that? I said, because I'm going to load up all your furniture, your stereo, your TV. I said, because you said poverty, I'm going to impoverish you and make you a better person. He said, Dan, don't you dare do that. And I said, well, that's how stupid what you're saying sounds. I said, where do you come off with this stuff? I said, you Catholics have got your head up your ass so far, you don't know if it's day or night. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so people take that out of context. Christ said that to the rich guy, Because he knew the rich guy loved his riches. He wasn't going to give up any of his riches. He didn't say, well, if you own nothing, then you can follow me. That wasn't the whole point. The point was Christ already knew this guy was a liar, saying that he wanted to be more righteous and to follow Christ when he was completely worldly and his greed would not allow him to give up anything to become, quote, more righteous. So, again, people take things out of context and really believe some real absurd things these days. Back to you.
Well, they twist it around. They convolute it. They do everything with the words of Christ except for actually studying it. Yeah, you know, they want to make up stuff that they don't know the meaning of the Greek or Hebrew words. Don't even know what a concordance is or a lexicon or, for that matter, don't even know a Bible dictionary exists, right? Yep. There are big dummy know-nothings. And what I find, and this is not a knock on anybody with advanced degrees, but I find that most people who have advanced degrees are some of the biggest morons on the planet. As far as how the world works, well, they might be really good at whatever little menial, well, they think that it's an important job, but, you know, most of them are menial jobs that can be done away with anyway, unless, of course, you're a surgeon or something like this, Dan, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an accountant with an advanced degree in accounting, that means you just have an advanced degree in Jewish magical numbers. You know, you mm-hmm. don't have an advanced degree in accounting. It's called, well, you've learned the Jewish con game of accounting.
Right.
So those of you with advanced degrees, I'm not mocking you or anything like that. I'm mocking the people who think they know something because they've got a PhD in, accounting or something like this or economics. PhD in economics is as good as nothing because the whole economic system is based on fraud. So how can you be an expert in that? Well, you're an expert in fraud.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In my opinion, you know, and everyone's got their own opinion on that stuff. But yeah, it's as Dan was alluding to, the idea behind that conversation that Christ had with the rich man was not to give up everything, but give away your excess. That's the way I read it. You know, you shouldn't have – two people should not live in a 7,000 or 10,000 square foot house with 8 cars.
Right.
Okay, this is ridiculous. You don't even have time to drive all the cars. I mean, I drive by homes all the time, and the guy's got like 5-car garage. What? A 5-car garage? What? The garage is bigger than my house I live in, right?
Right.
I mean – and it doesn't have farm equipment in it, okay? this is a major, major, major problem. But, you know, and then you've got the big churches, right, like these Joel Osteen characters and this stuff. These guys live in $40 million homes.
Oh, yeah.
These pastors on TV, right? They drive around in Bentleys and Rolls Royces and wear gold jewelry up and down their arms and have $4,000 custom suits on as they're giving a so-called sermon to a stadium full of idiots.
Yeah, I don't understand how anybody could follow the mainstream, quote, preachers, the prostitutes, I call them. How anybody – it's just like the mainstream media. How can anybody be so damn stupid – as to follow any of them or believe any of them? Well, the same thing could be said of the mainstream preachers. I mean, you know,
greed, Dan. It goes back to greed with the preachers, right? They're greedy. They got a $40 million mansion. So all the people in the audience think they're going to get a $40 million mansion. This is greed. Nobody needs a $40 million. First of all, what could, imagine seeing the inside of a $40 million home? What? This is ridiculous.
I know. And you know, the irony of it is, as I've been going through some minimalization process here for a couple years now, and I'm finding that as I get rid of stuff and have less to watch over, maintain, keep clean, keep track of, the happier you are, the less stressed you are. So you know, all of this materialism comes at a price. There are strings attached, you know, and people just don't realize that. It's like the people in the stock market. And again, I might be stepping on toes here because I've never invested in the stock market. Something that's controlled by people outside of my sphere, and it's rigged, why would I want to be part of that? But there's a lot of my family and friends who they go up and down with the stock market. But, you know, it's the same thing. You're hoping to take your money and without any effort or work on your part, that because of speculation in the market, you're going to, quote, make money. When you haven't made money, you haven't worked, you haven't created anything. That's why it's called speculative. And the Bible puts down the very idea of making money simply by converting currencies or investing in a stock and then praying, just like the people in the military-industrial complex, and I know people who are veterans who have bought into this bullshit, and they are, quote, investors. So people in our own military, officers, who make decisions about whether we go to war, are financially tied in to where they make money by us being at war. Well, that's prima facie evidence of conflict of interest, which is against natural law right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's speculated. Well, we know who the speculators are, right? Again, that comes from the protocols. They talk about it.
Right.
They're gonna make a career out of speculating on whether a price of some zombie company that's not worth anything. It's not even worth a dollar because it's so in debt. These billion-dollar companies are it's a billion-dollar company, Keith. What are you talking about? No, they've got $1 billion in debt means a company's worth nothing.
Right.
How can it be worth anything?
Well, this whole Babylonian system's built on a facade. It's all fiat, and it's going to burn to the ground. According to the book of Revelation, if you interpret it correctly, it's going to burn to the ground, and it's a financial collapse. And what are people like Gerald Celente and Bill Holter and all the rest of them? And if they hadn't murdered Rob Kirby, he would be out there saying the same thing. But word on the street is that the powers that should not be murdered him for what he was saying. But, you know, all of these guys that are being honest are saying, look, we're ready to go over the cliff financially. And what is it? Half of the population in the United States can't cover a $1,000 emergency, meaning they have no savings whatsoever. They're living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, just barely getting by. So half of the people in the United States, so can you imagine what it's like everywhere else, don't have enough resources to cover a lousy $1,000 emergency. And I'm going to tell you, in this age of inflation, it doesn't take much to chew up $1,000. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, it goes very quickly. You know, but those people can't afford a $1,000 bill. You know what most of them have in their living room, Dan? An 80-inch television set.
Oh, I know. They've got all the latest gadgets. I knew a lady friend of mine, her ex-husband was one of these guys. As soon as some new tech thing came out, he had to have it. Even though it was overpriced by at least 500%, he had to have it. I said, well, you know, if he just waited 6 months, the price would... No. He had to have it, like, right now. And there's people that are addicted to technology. They are literally addicted, just like a drug addict. You just look at the children out here that can't put their damn phones down. I told the story of a lady I know here in the area, and this is going back a few years, but her daughter was in high school at the time, and her cell phone quit working. Well, it's because the ex-husband forgot to pay the bill. She went ballistic. I mean, she was screaming and yelling, crying, I must have my phone. I must have my phone. I must have my phone. Drove her mom nuts to where she called me up and said, what am I going to do? And I said, well, get a hold of your ex and just tell him about it. I said, he'll probably take care of it. But it can wait till tomorrow. No, you don't understand. She has to have it back on right now. And I said, well, wait a minute. Are you the mother or is she the mother? And so, obviously the child prevailed and the woman went and she did everything she could to get a hold of her ex so that the phone would get turned back on. But the point of it is this child was going absolutely insane with the idea that one evening out of her life, one effing evening of her life, she'd have to shut the damn phone off. That's the sign of an addict. You are addicted if you can't put that damn thing down for an afternoon or even a couple days or a week. You are addicted. I don't care if it's your computer, your tablet, your laptop, or your phone. If you can't put that damn thing down and have a conversation or go work in the garden or something, if you got to have that damn thing with you 24/7, you are mentally ill. My opinion. Back to you.
Dan, they go for a walk, and I've seen this. We've got a few parks around where we live, and I've seen this where they put their child in a stroller, and they go for a walk outside with the child. And instead of talking to the child and stopping and pointing things out to the little child in the stroller, what are they doing? They're staring down at their phone. So why even bother taking the child out for a walk in the stroller if you're not going to, educate or expose the child to things out in the environment, right, for lack of a better term?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at their phone or they're talking on their phone instead of that. We go out to a restaurant, me and my wife, and we're sitting at tables and a family comes in and they've got, you know, the mom and dad and the two kids towing behind them. And what are the kids staring at? An iPad as they're walking through the restaurant. They sit down at the table. They all take out their phones. Nobody has a conversation. Nobody says anything. I'm like, this is completely bizarre. Could you imagine what they do at home? When I was growing up, we used to have family dinner every night.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would get home from work. My mom would cook our dinner. And we would sit down at about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. No TVs on. There was no such thing as cell phones at the time. But we had wall phones. If the phone rang, nobody got up to answer it. There was no TV on and we would discuss our day. Okay? This does not take place anymore. The society is crumbling in front of your face. If you can't see this, I don't know what to tell you, but you're going to be in all of shock when Babylon falls, because this time when it falls, that's it. It ain't coming back. Well, we'll just get through the recession and, oh, we've been through this before. No, you dummies, especially you idiots in these financial positions. And I call them idiots because that's what they are. Okay, these people, if you have a financial advisor handling your money, you're stupider than the financial advisor. Okay? You really are. You think that guy knows? All the people listening to this, not new people who find this, but people who have listened to Dan's show for years. If you have a financial advisor managing your money, you're an idiot in my opinion. And I would tell you that to your face, and here's the reason why. You think that guy knows anything? He doesn't know anything. He's reading the same news that you read. He can look at the same charts that you can look at. But the difference is he's stealing your money through his commission and doesn't care about your money, because whether you make money or lose money, he makes money off of you. And if you lose money, all he's got to say is, oh, sorry, Jim, but it's a downturn in the market. You know, these economic cycles we have, it's just crazy. It will come back. Isn't that what they tell you? That's mm-hmm. what they tell you, right? If he was a real financial advisor, he would see the downturn coming. But you know what happens? They never see the downturn coming. You know who sees the downturn coming? Are the rich billionaire hedge fund traders who have insider information to all this. That's who gets rich in the stock market, are people who invest with hedge funds, not the average idiot at Edward Jones down the road.
Yep. Or you know Fidelity, who would agree, who would agree Schwab, with you? Yeah. You ever listen to Pastor Bob Jones out of Reno?
Yes.
You know, he talks about the fact. Yeah, Pastor Bob Jones used to be a broker, and he said when he was in the brokerage house, they had a saying, the broker made money, the house made money, two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is the truth. I mean, you think, oh, I got my 401k, I got 300 grand in it. Yeah, but how much did you pay into that? Mm-hmm. Over 40 years. How much money do you think you paid into that over 40 years to get that 300 grand? Probably close to 300 grand. Right? Yep. Give or take 100,000. Which is not much money nowadays. $100,000 can go in a snap of fingers.
Do you see in our lifetime people finally realizing that man's law is never for our benefit and it's time to get back to being a theocracy under God's law? Do you see that happening in our lifetime?
Well, we ain't going back under God's law. These people don't even know that God exists. I was on looking at a conversation and a teacher decided to chime in. And it was on evolution. And they were so proud. This teacher was so proud that he was a science teacher in the public schools and taught evolution to all the kids.
So
and I mean, evolution is the biggest farce on the entire planet. This is obvious, right? If someone actually believes that the human body evolved from a piece of slime in a bog somewhere, I mean, this is the most idiotic thing ever. Your eye is so complicated that the so-called technology wizards out there can't even create a camera today that is more powerful and better than your eye.
Right. Yep.
So this is where we're at. He was so proud, Dan. And I just let it go because I was thinking to myself, I said, I hope, I hope you can come to my last words to him was, I hope you can come to the realization that God exists, God is real, and that I'm praying for your soul. And he came back, of course, with a snide comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I washed my hands of him. He's going after, and I warned him. Every time I say this stuff to somebody and give them a warning, that's an official warning from our Father. And they don't realize it, do they?
No, they don't.
Okay. I used to be the exact opposite of what I am today. Most of my life, I lived the life of the average person out there. Wanted the Porsche, wanted the fancy watch, wanted the big home, this, that, and the other thing. Never achieved any of it because I think deep down in my heart, I never really wanted it for me. I wanted it to keep up with the neighbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tying this all back together here. That was my life for a long time. I just came about this stuff when I was, 38 years old. Okay, I started, God decided to wake me up and snap me out of this stupor I'd been in, this drunken stupor I was in for two decades, right? My 20s and 30s, I was in a drunken stupor most of the time, or just this plain old stupor. But somehow our Father decided to bless me by waking me up to what's going on and showing me what's happening and then pointing me in the direction to warn people what's happening. even though the people don't care. And I don't understand why they don't care. I've got a little rough idea of why they don't care, because if they actually decide to sit down and study what I've studied and what Dan have studied, what a lot of you have studied, they would come to find out that everything you were taught is a complete lie. And they can't handle it, so they go kill themselves in their closet. That's the conclusion I've come to.
Yeah. Or commit suicide by their habits, their eating habits, their health habits, their financial habits, committing slow suicide.
Dan, I've got a friend, and he was a very good friend of mine for a long time, a number of years, and he got married, and he was always overweight, very, very overweight. He was a chef and a very highly ranked, top-of-the-line chef, world-class chef, right? Very, very heavy, probably approaching – 400 pounds at one point. His wife was the same, very, very heavy. They both had that stomach surgery, right, which the wife has had major complications from over the past decade and almost died a few times because of it. He had the stomach surgery also, and they had a daughter. Dan, it's very, very sad to me because the daughter – oh, I don't know how old she is now. She might be 9 or 10 years old now, as my wife just said. And she's obese.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you had a problem with weight your whole life and your wife did, why would you make your child obese? You're the one giving them the food. Do they not care about their child? That's the conclusion I came to.
There isn't much empathy in the scriptures. Talk about at the end of the age, during this period of time, there'd be a lack of natural affection. And natural affection meaning that mothers no longer even care about their baby in their wombs. When the baby's born, if they keep it, they don't care about them as they grow up. They'll put them in the public school system, which is atrocious. And actually, it's a child abuse. Public school is absolute communism being forced down their throat from the time they go into kindergarten until they graduate college. It's all progressive. It's all communism. So we don't have much empathy, it seems, of late. I've talked to so many people in our, from your age group up to mine, that our children and our grandchildren, they don't communicate. They don't try to stay in touch. They don't even care if you're alive or dead. They don't ever want to reach out and get your opinion on anything. They'd rather watch television. They'd rather look at their idiotic flat screen, thinking that it knows everything. So, again, you know that old saying, when an old man dies, a library burns to the ground. And in my case, it's literally a library. I have hundreds and hundreds of books that I have read and studied, and if you include all the books that friends of mine have read and studied and shared the contents of it with me, we're talking thousands of volumes. So does any of my family reach out and ask my opinion on anything? Pretty much zero. I studied natural health thinking that my friends and family would want to know the truth, you know, and be able to get away from the medical mafia that are killing them and all these pharmaceutical poisons. Pretty much zero interest in what I have learned and studied. It's amazing to me. And so the scriptures again come true that we have lost the natural affections that should be there in families, blood relations, and we don't live near each other anymore. Back in the day, like my cousins back in Pennsylvania and all that, most of them live in the same county they were born in, and they'll be there till they die. That was the way it was done in the old days. And now we move thousands of miles apart, and as soon as you're out of sight, you're out of mind. And they just don't care. Back to you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've had the same experience with my family and my older friends. Well, I don't really have any more as friends, but you know, that's neither here nor there. It just happens when you understand what's happening in the world. You kind of lose people and you gain new friends. So which is a blessing. You know, new friends are a blessing because the old people, they're living in Babylon and you kind of want to get away from them anyway. Normally they're godless, degenerates. I know you might not think they are, but they are. So you've got this thing this dynamic in families, where how is it possible that out of all the members of my family and all the members of my wife's family, how is it possible that one family member, and I'll just take my personal experience and my wife's personal experience, how is it that I'm the only one in my family who has taken it upon himself and my wife also to study what is happening in the world and understanding what is happening in the world? How can we be so different in the same family, Dan? I've been trying to grasp that. Because we supposedly, and this is, I'm not a scientist, right? But this is what they tell us. They tell us that that genetics are passed down through lines of people. Now my question has been for the past couple of years, are all the genes passed down or just some of them passed down? Are you injected with new genes before you're born in the womb to be able to decipher what's going on in the world so you can disseminate this information to the general masses and to see who takes to it and who doesn't? Because how can one family, just take my family for example, all the people in my family I brought this attention to of what's happening in the world, not one cares. They've never asked me my opinion on anything. They've never asked me my opinion on anything of this nature. I don't understand how that can be, Dan. It's like I was injected into this world for one specific purpose. And now I'm at the purpose. It took 50 some odd years to get here, through trials and tribulations and pathways and left and right hand turns. But somehow I ended up here with the knowledge that I have. And my brother has no knowledge of anything but thinks he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he makes a lot of money.
Well, there we go again. Right. There we go again.
So avarice and greed. How can this be, Dan? How is this possible? How people tell me there's somebody out there who keeps on saying that all of Israel is saved. And this is my major disagreement with this particular person in identity. It's not a hostile disagreement. It's just a general disagreement that I have with this with this line of scripture, where Paul said, all Israel is saved. Okay, so what that means is that all of the Adamic race is saved. Correct, Dan? That's what that says. I think that that's a mistranslation somewhere, and they're missing a number of words that were left out. Because how is it that an Adamic person who goes out and rapes and murders and molests children, how can that person be saved, Dan? How can that person get salvation, Dan? How can that person enter the kingdom on the 12 gates?
Well, they can't. Well, first of all, the letters of Paul are typically mistranslations. And I typically put Paul at the back of the bus as far as scripture. I take anything from the Old Testament and the other apostles before I would read and believe in anything Paul said.
I'm sorry. Let me just tie this all together where I was going with it. I didn't mean to pause there. I was collecting my thoughts. so you have this where Adamic people are supposedly good, right? Well, and this goes back to the wheat and the tares, where Christ says that they'll separate the wheat from the tares, and the tares are going in a lake of fire, and the wheat are going to the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, but you don't know, and I'm paraphrasing again, people. Christ says, you don't know who the wheat and who the tares are. So what this says to me is that it's internal, right? A person who looks Adamic can still be poisoned by the serpent seed from
Absolutely.
The garden. So they're not really Adamic. Right? Do you understand where I'm going with this? Am I making myself clear? Because I feel like I'm jumbling this up. I can't get my thought out that I want to get out.
Well, it's the idea that, you know, the hardware may be right, but the software's not right.
Okay, right.
And it's also, as you said, Yeshua said, you know, you can't judge what's on the inside, but I can. And that's why he and his messengers are the ones that will separate the wheat from the chaff, because he knows what's going on inside, what the motives are, what the mental capacity is, and what their agenda is. Okay. He can decipher all that, just like he did with that rich guy. He knew the rich guy had no intentions of giving to charity or giving up any of his excessive wealth. And so he shamed him right out of the picture. So what you're saying basically is that, you know, that's why he said, you don't get to decide who is put into the category of sheep or goat. I'll do that. But he does tell us that you can tell if it's a good tree or not because of their fruit. And we can discern that.
Can there be a tear in the family?
Absolutely. It's not DNA or genetics, because, again, like you said, it's typical that in a family, there may only be one, possibly two, that get it. So it's a spiritual differentiation. It's not a DNA thing. That's just this bag of bones, what you inherit from your ancestors and all is your propensity for good health or your ability to reason, whatever, your IQ and all that. Those can be handed down but genetically, but not the spiritual aspect. That's completely separate. And if you go ahead.
So are you born with that spiritual component, for lack of a better term? Or does that spiritual component develop, do you think, as you go through life? Was I born with this particular spiritual element that had to be developed over 50 years? And then if you take my brother, where was he born with that but never developed that?
Well, it says he knew us from the beginning, even before we were in the womb. So, again, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. So from the other side, we were put down here into a body. So you're right. We have a spiritual aspect that comes immediately on this earth. The development of that spiritual experience is up to us. Some get it, some don't. Some just let it go. Some don't listen to the voice through the pineal gland into the, you know, coming from Father himself, the consciousness, so to speak, of our Heavenly Father as he reaches down and speaks to you. A lot of people don't get it. They completely ignore it because they're driven again by avarice and greed to attain these. They want the material things so bad that they'll ignore any efforts by the spiritual side, the conscious side, that's trying to tell them that, you know, you're going down the wrong path. They'll completely ignore that because they are so driven. They truly are like an addict, a drug addict. Over to you.
Yeah, that's right. They're driven by the greed. So they ignore they ignore the little hints and clues that the Father's giving them through other, through people, you know, who understand what's happening. They ignore it. I remember 9/11. I used to discuss that a lot with people. And one guy who was very successful at business, smart guy, very, you know, college educated, you know, guy, supposedly smart, right? Cause they're college educated. Again, an advanced degree, right? In economics or some bullshit like that. And, you know, he says to me, well, how could all those people keep a secret? That was his response to me. Right. So he's consciously and he's consciously rejecting that little crumb that I threw him to go look into this because he loved his BMW more than wanting to know what's happening with our country.
Absolutely. You know, the scripture says that he will use the uneducated to confound the wise. And I have found the most spiritual, honest, individuals in my walk are the ones who are not formally, quote, educated. Institutions cannot teach, discernment. They cannot teach spiritual and holistic things. They can't do it. They're completely in the world and of the world.
So, yeah, they're of the world and in the world and love the world. And we know what that says in John, right?
Right.
Those who love the world hate me.
Exactly. And here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yeah, that's exactly where we're at, and that's what we're talking about. Because, let's face it, the Jew is the archetype of the Antichrist, okay? Because his religion is Antichrist, his faith is Antichrist, his motivations in this world are completely Antichrist, and anybody that doesn't know that is a complete idiot. So they're at the top of the food chain as far as those who live outside of God's law. Well, for them to get away with what they're doing, because they're not good soldiers, they're not carpenters, they're not good home builders, they actually have no skills whatsoever in Yahweh's kingdom. They don't have any skills at all. They're a parasite. And you can go to Jewish authors who will admit this. So it's not just Dan saying it. So they're parasitical. And they have to convince us to live like them so that they don't stand out as being these antithetical creatures who walk amongst us who are not of us. Okay, these lions and these wolves in sheep's clothing. So they have to convince us that it's normal, quote, to live like a Jew. And we've bought into it because we have no more shepherds teaching in the, quote, houses of God, which are churches. Okay, so the watchmen have been sound asleep because, what? They've gone through seminary. Well, who controls the seminary curriculum? The same people that control the college curriculums. Again, because of money. Okay, money. That's what drives it. So who controls the money? Well, these same small hat wearing individuals control the money system, so they're able to dump as much money as they need to into the seminaries or whatever schools, etc., that will teach their way, their paradigm, their point of view of the world. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it surely, that's a great, unbelievable is the term. that's for sure. Yeah, it comes down to money, materialism, greed, covetedness, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like I said earlier in this program, I don't know anybody who needs a $40 million home. Could you, I mean, as I said before, what could that even look like? I mean, how do you even come up with that figure, right? I mean, what is going on? And that's for a pastor, right? Joel Osteen's got a $40 million home. And well, he fills his pews in the stadium, right? He's got a stadium where he talks about, babbles on about nonsense.
Oh, I know.
Nothing scriptural, nothing of substance. And the people go there every Sunday and they cut big checks to this guy. Imagine all the money these people give to this Ulstein character. If they had that money, you know, they could put that towards something good, like a charity that they like, a legitimate charity. Just start handing out $20 bills to homeless people on the side of the street.
Yeah.
You know, with all that money.
You think about it, the truth tellers and the patriots that are trying to set this world right, where is the Elon Musk? Where is the Rothschild? Where is the George Soros on the righteous side? All these people that are, quote, millionaires and billionaires, where are they? Why is it that every patriot group I know, every group trying to make this world a better place, those that are teaching the identity message, why is it that they go almost completely unfunded, unsupported? Now, don't get me wrong. There are a handful that do. But my point is the enemy makes sure that there's literally billions of dollars flowing into the pockets of the Antichrist forces. And that's because they control the money system, but there's still an awful lot of resources in the hands of, quote, average people. And yet, again, greed and avarice set in because, oh, well, I would send money to help somebody out. And I'm not asking for money, so don't take this the wrong way. But the point of it is, I've heard it from so many friends and family and neighbors, etc. I'm going to spend $200 to go watch this football game, or I'm going to spend $300 to go to the casino or whatever. I mean, they will drop money on stuff that's just completely frivolous. And yet the idea of reaching out to some patriot group or a channel or whatever and supporting that never even enters their mind. They consider that, that would be like throwing my money away. Bullshit. And spend hard-earned money on that. See, I can't even understand that because even as a young man, I supported a lot of things all my life at all times. I always looked at the scripture. It says the workman is worth his hire, which means that the workman is worth support. Just like, we say about the food chain, all that stuff coming out about the food chain. Well, how many years have we said, you know, if people would stop buying their junk food and go support the local rancher and the local farmer who are doing it right, this thing would not be the way it is. The Pfizer's of the world and the Johnson & Johnson's and the pharmaceuticals and the big agricultural corporate farms would go out of business. But we go down and we buy their junk. Why? Because, I can save a dollar. Well, I would buy organic food, but it costs too much. You know how many times I've heard that? I'm so sick of it. It costs too much? But wait a minute. That's the same mentality as, well, I'll put that poison in my arm because, well, Dan, I would lose my job if I didn't do it. Okay, that's the same mentality. Okay, you won't buy the good organic real food because it's a dollar or two more than the Walmart shit. Do you see what I'm saying? What prioritizes what people do? I don't understand where their priorities are. They don't even care about their own bodies anymore, let alone their children, let alone their ancestors, let alone their neighbors. They don't even care about their own body anymore. Back to you.
Have you seen the sickly people walking around, Dan? Go to your average grocery store or Target or Walmart or Kohl's or any of these stores, right? Look, just walk through a parking lot. You don't got to go into these Babylonian stores. Just walk through the parking lot and look at the people. Have you seen such a disgraceful mess of garbage walking around? These people they're all obese. It's disgusting. It is disgusting to look at, and it's disgusting to be that way. How do you do that? How do you get up every morning and you're 300 pounds fat blob of crap walking around? I mean, don't you look at yourself in the mirror and go, what happened to me? And then you continue to eat the same way and the same quantity of food. And then you go on a medication because your blood pressure is high instead of changing your diet. Or you go and say, oh, I just became a type 2 diabetic. I don't know what it's from, but I'm going to go down to the doctor and get a pill and continue to eat McDonald's three times a week. It's like we're surrounded by idiots. I don't know how else to put it, but I feel like I am surrounded by – I can't go anywhere anymore because I look around me and I look at the person next to me and I'm like, oh my God, this person is disgusting. They take no pride in themselves. They take no pride in their children. They take no pride in their life. I can't even be around them. I physically can't – I get nauseous being around them, so I can't go anywhere. I'm lucky I can go to Lowe's and get something I need for a project at the house, right, because I'm so disgusted by what these people look like. And I'm not mocking fat people, but if you are fat, lose the weight. You're killing yourself. Do you get it yet? Okay, there's no reason why you should be fat. And this goes for people who listen to this program, Dan. I might be hurting a little feelings with this little section of this talk today, but it's the truth. If you're fat, lose the weight. Do you think God, do you think our Heavenly Father, do you think Jesus Christ thinks it's okay that you're fat? That's a quick, go ask, look in the mirror and ask yourself that question. If Jesus came back today and looked at me, I'm supposed to be a warrior for Christ, aren't you? People who know this identity message and know the truth, you're supposed to be a warrior for Christ. How can you be a warrior being 100 pounds overweight? You can't even walk down the block without huffing and puffing. Are you kidding me? All these tough guys out here. Oh, I'm going to grab my AR and when it breaks down, I'm going to go out there in the streets and take care of business. We're going to form our army and our militia. You're not going to form anything. You can't even walk down the block without huffing and puffing, let alone go urban combat. I mean, come on, man. Get with it. Especially the identity people. I have come across so many identity people who are majorly overweight. How can you be an identity person and be overweight? Ask yourself that question. Don't get mad at me because I'm bringing this up to you. Ask yourself that question. Sit down with yourself. Look in your cabinets. What are you eating? Well, the good food's too expensive. Really? Oatmeal's too expensive? Oatmeal. Oatmeal's expensive? It's like you go to Costco, you get 10 pounds for $9. That's expensive. Dan, ground chicken's expensive? Chicken breast is expensive? Chicken breast, if bought right and correctly, is less expensive than the garbage you have in your freezer, pal.
You know, the other amazing thing is you can buy whole chickens – and get the good ones, the open-ranged, no herbicides, no hormones, no growth hormones, none of that garbage, just pure organic chicken. You can buy the whole chicken if you know how to butcher it, which that just takes a little bit of training if you have never done it. But you can buy the whole chicken, and by the time you butcher it into the pieces that you want and all, you'll find out that you paid less than the garbage chicken that's down at Walmart.
Do you think all the prophets who died for you and were tortured by the satanic serpents? Paul was tortured. John the Baptist had his head cut off. Do you think these people were walking around 150 pounds, 100 pounds overweight? No, they were Christian warriors standing up against the evil enemy. Are you kidding me? You identity people are pounds overweight. 10, 20 pounds is nothing. It's a little bit extra that can be lost in a couple weeks. Get your act together. Get yourself together. Don't be mad at me because I bring this stuff up. That's what people are right there grumbling to themselves, Dan. I know they are. Like, oh, what does he know? He doesn't know my situation. No, I know your situation. It's called being lazy. You think Paul and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke and all the prophets, Zechariah and Isaiah, do you think these people were sitting around eating McDonald's cheeseburgers? No. Moses was a warrior. Are you kidding me? Alexander the Great was a warrior. Alexander the Great conquered 90% of the territory he went through. As you sit on your couch eating potato chips. You know, give me a break. Okay, I'm sorry to go off on this little rant, Dan, but it just came to my mind because I don't know, man. I don't know what's wrong with our people. I really don't. I don't know what's wrong with them. I really don't know.
Well, it's everything is attitude. I've told people that for years. Everything in life, 90% of what happens in life is all about attitude, not the things that happen to you or don't happen to you. It's the attitude that you have. And the same thing goes for the attitude about relationships and even your own walk through this life. Do you have the attitude that you are here to get amass the most toys that you can and that somehow makes you a winner? Or do you look at it as I'm going through this world before I go to the next world, the hereafter, and while I'm here on this world, I'm to make it a better place. I am to learn as much as I can. I am to be an example for my family, for my neighbors, for my friends, and for the Father above. You know, it's all a matter of perspective. And our people have lost, you know, there's a proverb that says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. Not just a lack of knowledge, but there's another one that says, from a lack of vision. Our people have lost the vision of what it means to be Aryan. The very word Aryan, you know, you see it bantered about all the time, but does anybody really know what Aryan means? It's an ancient word, and it basically means the noble people. The noble people. That's what made us stand out from all the other races. When the Adamic man traveled over this flat earth, he was considered a god. Look at all of the ancient civilizations that when they painted statues of their gods, they had blue eyes. Blue eyes are only identifiable with the Caucasian Adamic race. When we're talking pure blood now, not half-breeds, pure blood. So when our people walked this earth, they were to be the noble people. That's where the word nobleman or even gentleman, genteel, gentleman. You were not to be abusive. You were not to lord over. You were not to become a dictator and abuser. No. You were to lead by example and to teach others how to be noble. And that's where it's been proven that Confucius and Buddha and all of these other ancient peoples that had such great wisdom, they were Aryans. They weren't Orientals, Easterners. No, they weren't. They were Aryans that traveled and were held up as a standard by the locals. And then the Aryans moved on and the locals took over just like in Buddhism. Now most of the Buddhist monks don't look Aryan at all. So they took over and plagiarized what Buddha taught and then converted it into some modern form that takes away to where they think it's their religion. But it started out as our people basically teaching biblical concepts that our people have known from the first time they were put here. So again, it's perspective. What do people want? How do you teach people to have self-respect? How do you teach
self-respect?
They don't even have self-respect. If you can look in the mirror, just like you said, and you can justify or rationalize your poor choices, your deplorable physical condition, the food in your cupboards, the way you conduct yourself, the way you dress, the way you talk. If you can rationalize all that away, then you don't have any respect for yourself. You don't have any standards. And look, that's a lot what's wrong today. We don't have standards anymore. We don't hold anybody accountable for their wrongdoing, and we don't have any standards. Well, that's the effect of the Jew. The Jew wipes all that out, because if you actually have standards, the Jews can't meet those standards. They know that. They're despicable people. If you tear away the facade that they create with their money and you dig down deep enough, you'll find out, just as Joe Cortina says in his three-volume book and others in the military that I know that have spent time around Israelis, they are a despicable people. They're filthy. They're dirty. They're lazy. They're not, quote, God's chosen people. That's ridiculous. Back
to you,
Bud.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing ever uttered.
I know.
And anyone to believe. I mean, think about this. Okay, I'm not saying people need to be Mr. Olympia, right? But if you're 50, 100 pounds overweight, just do some exercise. You don't have to join a gym. Change your eating habits. It's real simple to find what to eat. Just do a Google search for healthy foods and then analyze it, right? And then go buy the foods. But you can do all your work at home, right? If you live in a northern climate, get out there and chop wood on a Saturday or Sunday. Your day's off, right? There's your workout. Go chop some wood. Go build a shed in your backyard. Take a walk around the block. You don't need treadmills and, you know, shovel snow outside. Mow the lawn, right? Instead of having some Mexican come mow your lawn, you mow your lawn. Save yourself some money in the long run and save your health and your heart. So all that stuff goes along. Imagine our people, Dan. And me and my wife were talking about this the other day. Imagine it being, you know, a few thousand years ago, and you're traveling around. You say, we're getting out of this place, and we're going to head north for, you know, just a direction to give. So you set sail in your boat, or you set off by foot with your pack of animals and your you know, I don't know what they – wagon, I guess they had in those days. Whatever they had in those days, right? And you just start going. And all of a sudden you come across a landmass that's today known as Sweden, right? You travel up through the water and you come to Sweden, and it's cold, and you get out. You look at this all forested, and there's nothing built there. And you step on land and you go, this looks like a great place. Let's live here. Dan – our people today are incapable of even doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a problem moving from one apartment to the next because it's too hard. They can't even pack their own moving truck, Dan. Dan, they can't even pack their own moving truck. And our people used to gather their shit and move thousands of miles in the wilderness without GPS and all this modern technology we have to find out where they're going. They just took off with packs on their back and decided to carve out a country. Are you kidding me? Can you see the difference between our people today and our people then? They can't even pack their own moving truck. I moved a lot, me and my wife, and every time I packed my own moving truck and got a lot of pride in doing it. These people can't even pack their own moving truck, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're going to go defeat the enemy? Give me a break.
Yeah, we have a lot of work
to
do.
And I harp on our people. You know, I harp on our people instead of, you know, well, it's the Jews' fault, I'm keep on told. Well, they've got a hand in it. But that doesn't mean that you have to give in to what they tell you or what they tell you to do and eat and what food they provide. Carve your own path like our people used to. Okay? Discipline your children. Your teenager's got a phone. Your 13-year-old girl's got a phone. That's a good idea. That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard of. Okay? I've got a niece who's 8 years old. She's got a cell phone. Are you kidding me? Her grandparents, my parents bought her the cell phone.
Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This child's brain is being destroyed. Every time I see her, I get depressed. And some of your own kids who listen to this program, some of you people got 13-year-old and 14-year-old kids. They got cell phones. ask yourself that question in the mirror too. Ask yourself this question. Why do I allow my 14-year-old daughter to have a cell phone? You stupid ass.
Well, we're
and I'm telling you that in person too. I just don't say that, you know, on the computer here. And you know you're stupid ass for doing it. But you know what? You don't know how to take it away from them because your child might be mad at you. Good. Let him be mad. Let him sit in their room and sulk. Better than that, lock him in their room.
Yeah. Well, we don't have enough. Yeah, we don't have enough intestinal fortitude to discipline our children anymore. I've seen that so many times. I've heard the excuse, well, the authorities might do this or it might be mistaken by the neighbors. And it's like, you're going to forsake your duty as parents to discipline, which is a biblical concept, by the way. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It means that children only respond to discipline, just like, well, it's the same thing in our society. So we have people now in their 20s and 30s that have grown up with no discipline whatsoever, and we wonder why they get into government positions and in corporate positions, and they have no discipline whatsoever. They don't know how to handle situations. They've never been held accountable for anything. They don't know what it means to be disciplined. Whatever they feel, whatever their gut feeling is, go with it. You know, well, today I want to identify as a vice president, and everything I say you have to do. I've actually heard people in management say stupid-ass things like that. And it was like, what? What? We're like the human resources lady that had just been hired and running the department. She says something in the meeting, and it, you know, you can train anybody to do anything. Now, this is in a nuclear power plant we're talking about. And I looked at her and I said, excuse me, but that's probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Oh, what do you mean? You can train anybody to do anything. I said that, no, you can take somebody that has certain qualities, innate qualities, and train them to be better. I said, but you can't just take somebody off the street and go, well, you're going to be an instrumentation tech or you're going to be a reactor operator and we're going to send you to school. And when you come out, you'll be able to do that. No, no. I said, and I gave her the example. I said, I can take you, young lady, down to the baseball field and I can throw fastballs at you for the next 30 or 40 years and you're still not going to be a major league baseball player. Ever. I said, so the idea that I can just take somebody off the street and train them, quote, train them to do anything is ludicrous. Where did you even hear something like that? And obviously she heard it in college. That's what they're teaching them.
Yeah, they heard it in college.
They heard it in college. Some Jewish professor gave them this whole Disney World, as my brother calls it, this Disney World phenomenon where whatever your fantasy is can be real. You want to fantasize that you're a female? Well, it can be real. You want to fantasize that you're a high-level executive and people should listen to you? Well, go ahead. It doesn't matter that you're a complete retard and you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. We're going to take on Russia and defeat them because I identify as a well-trained soldier. Well, okay, put that guy up against the Russian or Chinese soldier that actually had to go through training and become a real soldier, where our people, quote, identify as well-trained soldiers when the sad fact is they're not. I mean, what military can be taken seriously if they have training for the men to wear women's clothing? That's our military today. They actually make the men put on high heels or dresses so they can identify with the plight of the, quote, female. And that's actually going on. I know people still in active duty that have told me this. So this is not make-believe bullshit. Okay? So what kind of military would do that? What kind of military would put females in combat roles? Well, no serious military would do that. But our woke military will do that, or have females as admirals and generals. Are you shitting me? I'm not going to go to a field of battle under the leadership of a female. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. Even if our guys try to push that, I'd rather go fight by myself or with one or two other men. But I'm not going to go into a field of battle being led by females. Sorry, not going to do it. I'm not even going to go into the field of battle with some of our effeminate men. I'm going to go into the field of battle with men that I trust, men that I understand to be true warriors and know how to win a fight. That's who I'll follow into battle, but I'm not going to follow some woke asshole that doesn't know shit from Shinola or a female. Sorry, ladies, but you're not soldiers. You're not.
They're not meant to be soldiers, Dan.
Well, it's not their job. They weren't given the tools to do it, okay? It's just like I don't have the tools to bear children, okay? I don't have those tools. I don't have the tools to raise the child like a mother would. A mother has unconditional love. Men don't have that. My love is conditional, just like my Heavenly Father. People say it's unconditional. No, it's not. This whole concept of unconditional love is bullshit. All things have conditions. Just look at the scriptures.
Life is a condition.
Life is a condition, but look at the scripture and tell me there aren't conditions. There's all kind of verses that say this category of people aren't going to make it. Where's this whole notion of unconditional love? God is love and he just loves everybody, the race mixer and the Jew proselyte that's trying to screw over the world. All, everybody's God's child. It doesn't matter. Such bullshit. It's like, come on, put your thinking caps on. How do you get people to use their brain? You know, the brain is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it will atrophy. It will shrink. And it becomes harder and harder to use it. You've got to put the brain through exercises. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. And that's what the Jew has done. He has financed the creation of all of this, quote, labor-saving devices and entertainment and all, so that the brain shuts down. Do you realize that when you're watching something on television, your body is as close to asleep as it's going to be? You're burning almost zero calories. Your brain is basically in zombie mode. And you're sitting there vegetating in front of that screen. Well, you're not exercising your body or your brain. And again, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. So the answer for good health is to change the way you think and to shed yourself of all this Jewish-created bullshit from the corporations that we think is saving us time and energy and making life so much better. Really? As you sit there and gain 10 pounds per month and your arteries are clogged, your lymphatic system is clogged, and you wonder why you feel like shit. Well, maybe if you got off your ass and actually went and did some things on your own instead of letting something else do all the work for you, maybe you'd be a lot healthier. I don't know. What does it take to get these kind of messages through their people's thick skulls? I don't know.
Yeah, all I'm saying for the past, this little portion of this talk here today is I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Okay? I'm not perfect by any means. I'm actually one of probably the least perfect people on the planet, and I still struggle with things every single day. But at least I try to fix myself, right? I'm a work in progress, so you should be a work in progress. And it's a very simple way to start. If you're 100 or 50 pounds overweight, you know what you do today? Just go out for a walk around the block. It's very simple to start changing and going down a path to get healthy. Because what's coming, guys, is not going to be fun. And I don't know when it's going to come. It could come tomorrow. It could come 2 years from now. Hell, Dan, it could come 70 years from now when I'm dead. And off this planet and back with the Father. But you have to be prepared the best you can, because no one knows the time or the hour. And it's getting really, really bad out there, guys. Really bad. If we're not in the days of Noah now, I don't know how much worse it can get. People are taking their little boys. They're taking their little boys at 5 years old or younger sometimes and putting them on puberty blocking medications, dressing them as a girl, making them act like a girl, giving them girl toys to play with, telling them they're a girl, that it's okay, that they're a girl. And then they're going to get them surgery at 13 and cut their whatever, their dick off, or whatever's going to take place here. They're going to give them female hormones the older they get so they grow breasts. Are you kidding me? Do you see how bad it is? Christ can come back any day. Do you understand how bad it is? What? These trannies are being promoted as a good thing. These homos are being promoted as a good thing. They're going to hell. Do you get this? The craziest thing, Dan, is every time these so-called Christians out there who attend these churches, and some who don't even attend the churches but claim they claim they're Christian going throughout life, and they support homosexuality, and you support your so-called colleague at work who's a homo, saying it's okay, he was born that way, you're sending him to hell. You're doing it. What do you think Christ is going to have words with you when you die? Because we all meet God when we die. What do you think is going to happen to you when Christ tells you this, that you're partly responsible for sending Jimmy to hell? Because you told him it was okay to be a homo. You went out to dinner with him and his boyfriend and held parties with him and his boyfriend and say, love is love. Love is love. And you're out there, the Pride Gay Parade, supporting this stuff. What do you think's going to happen to you? Okay, so enough of this nonsense. Okay, go back to living. Everybody knows what's right, Dan. Everybody knows what's right, especially people my age. People my age know what's right. I'm in my 50s. Think back, those of you who are in your 50s, to when you were growing up. The attitude towards homosexuality. The attitude towards crime. I don't even think tranny was a word back then, but let's say it was. The attitude towards trannies back then. The attitude towards sex, so-called sex education in school back then. The attitudes of so-called pornography back then. And guys, pornography 30 years ago was a lot different than it is today.
True.
All right. Yeah. I think when I was growing up, we used to sneak into my friend's older brother's closet, and the hardest pornography they had was Hustler magazine. Now, when your 13-year-old boy has got their phone that you bought them and that you pay the $100 bill every month for, you know what he's looking at on his phone? He's looking at pornography. But, Dan, he's not looking at pictures of a beautiful woman laying on a bed, right, exposing her breast and everything else. You know what he's looking at for pornography that they consider sexual today? They're looking at a woman tied up and beaten with a whip and then having intercourse with her.
Oh, yeah. It's the whole gamut.
That's what your 13-year-old child is doing with their phone. And if you don't believe me, well, you're in denial and you're an idiot. Okay? Because that's what your 13-year-old boy is watching. He's watching women who are probably sex trafficked. And all the pornography is free on the internet, guys. I don't know if you know this. But they've got websites out there that have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of videos from everything you could possibly imagine out there. And how do I know this? Not because I watch it, because at one point years ago, guy Benjamin Garland put out a book. I forget what it was called, but it was based on pornography, right, and how terrible it is and how it destroys your brain and your affection for your wife and all this other stuff. So I went looking, and I'm by no means a prude. What I came across, it wasn't even sexual. It wasn't even attractive, Dan. It was violent, disgusting abuse is what it was. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what your 13-year-old boy's looking at and your 13-year-old girl's looking at online. They think that that's what a loving couple having sexual relations in their bedroom is doing. And the 50 Shades of Grey movie, Dan, remember that movie that came out called 50 Shades of Grey where it was about S&M and bondage?
Mm-hmm.
That was a mainstream movie that they were showing in the theater down the street that you can now watch on your TV. They play it on regular TV network at 8 o'clock at night. So not only are your children watching the most brutal, disgusting, hardcore pornography on the internet, but now they're getting it from USA Network on TV at 8 o'clock at night in the form of 50 Shades of Grey. So when you go home one day, And your 17-year-old child has got their girlfriend in your basement tied up and is whipping the shit out of her, and you catch him doing it, you know you're the cause of it because you gave him a phone. Pay attention. Wake up. Figure it out. And I hope none of our identity people have children like this, Dan. Because if you're an identity believer – and you've got children doing this stuff, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. You're in a tough spot, and I don't know how you fix it, Dan. I don't know how you fix it. But you got to fix it, guys. Please, you have to fix it. This is weighing on our society. This is what's dragging us down. The greed, the materialism, the pornography. The Halloween celebrations. If you're an identity person and you have pumpkins and Halloween decorations outside of your house, there's something wrong. Okay? Well, I have to celebrate Halloween because of my kids. No, how about you teach your children that Halloween is bad? And here's the reason why it's bad, and do something productive with them that night. How about you have a family game night? Remember board games, Dan, and jigsaw puzzles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Hey, have a family game night or jigsaw puzzle night on Halloween. Not have your 8-year-old daughter dressed up as a whore. Because that's what she's dressing as, is a whore for Halloween. Have you seen the Halloween costumes, Dan, that these people dress their children in?
No.
Wow. Next Halloween, you need to go down to a store called Spirit Halloween, which are big Halloween stores. They only set up during Halloween season. And go look at the kids' costumes that they sell.
Hmm. Wow.
Dan, it's you know those pictures of that you see on the internet of fallen angels, white, right? It's portrayed as a very attractive woman with the black wings on them, right? And they're normally half naked in some sort of pose, and it's a fallen angel, right? The other side thinks of what a fallen angel is. They've got costumes like that, Dan.
Yeah, I've seen articles and stuff put out by people that Yeah.
So our people, bottom line, Dan, our people need to wake up and shape up, including myself. I don't leave me out of this stuff, guys. But yep. I've had hard talks with myself in the mirror. I don't like the talks I've had to have with myself, but I've had them. And I'm still in denial about some things. Okay?
Well, as you said, we're all a work in progress.
Yeah, we're all
But we have to have standards. We have to have standards, and that's part of the problem. We don't have standards for people to work towards. We may never reach them. We never may be perfect, but that doesn't mean we can't work towards the standards. And Yahshua said he was the standard that we were to be working towards. So, but the, again, the church world, the prostitute preachers, they don't teach that sort of thing anymore. Hey, I wanted to read these verses on greed if you want to take a little break.
Great.
I want to read down through them for the people. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Proverbs 28:25, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in Yahweh will be enriched. Luke 12, verse 15, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, which is greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Proverbs 15:27, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. And I'll give two more. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh God and money. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. And we're approaching, believe it or not, the 2-hour mark here. Did we cover everything you wanted to cover today, Keith?
Yeah. I just wanted to get a little bit of information. We didn't get to news articles, but that's okay. We kind of got off on greed and materialism and what people should probably be trying to strive for as far as their physical health. I'm not talking about physical appearance. Everyone's different in that. I'm talking about your overall physical health. And if you're very overweight, please do something about it. Okay? Please do something about it. You are killing yourself. Okay? And if you're overweight and you're making your children overweight, you've got serious mental issues.
Yep.
Okay? That you need to take care of, because that's a mental illness. And I hate to say that, but in my opinion, it's true. So get your act together. I've got to get my act together too. Every day I work on it, and most days I fail at it. I'm just a weak man, right? I'm just a weak individual who strives every day to be better. Some days I accomplish what I want to do, and other days I backslide. But this is life, and this is the way it is. But you got to try. You at least have to try. And you got to try for more than a day. All right? Every day should be a trial for you to make yourself better in the means of health. I think we need to be more kind to some of our people. And kindness, don't mistake kindness for lying to people about it. And there's a way you can do it. Don't call them a fat pig and tell them to lose weight. There's a way to do it. Okay? And that's a way that you got to find out how to do it, how you're more comfortable with. But this is very, very important. All this stuff is important. Because our society is crumbling in front of us. There will be an economic crash, and I don't know when it's going to come, but it will happen. And if you're alive when it happens, this is the big one, guys. These banks are so in debt. Basically, here's how you know how the banks are, that this crash is going to happen. And this is real quick, Dan, then we can end it. This is an article from RT. Swiss Central Bank reports massive loss. last year's $143 billion loss is the biggest in the regulator's 116-year history. That headline should tell you something right there. We are teetering on a cliff. I know they don't tell you this stuff on your TV. You gotta search it out and read it. This is an important article here that RT put out. So if the central bank is in big trouble, what do you think your local Chase bank down the road is in? Do you think they're still solvent? I highly doubt it. Do you think it's being propped up? I definitely know it is. That's why you need to get into shape. Now, starting today, because there's going to be no time. When it comes down, what's it say in the scripture? It's coming down very quickly. I think it says in about an hour, which is not technically an hour. It means a short amount of time.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Okay, so please, guys, I'm not being mean. I am just telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So please, straighten yourself out, straighten your kids out, get prepared. But doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself. Go enjoy yourself. Okay, like God wants us, Christ wants us to enjoy ourselves while we're here. Okay, it's not supposed to be one long, big struggle without any enjoyment. Yeah, there's a struggle there, but you also need to enjoy yourself. So, next time you go to a family function and you're there with your relatives, try and enjoy yourself. Try and have a good time. Okay, being an identity doesn't mean you can't go attend a party. Okay, this doesn't mean any of that stuff. Okay, you have to have a social life. Don't be a hermit in your house. Get out, enjoy yourself. Don't partake in what the people do. If everyone's getting drunk at the party, doesn't mean you have to get drunk, but you can go have a couple beers.
All things okay? in moderation.
Enjoy yourself. All right. things in moderation, right? Including food, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? Including things that you buy. Everybody likes some nice things, okay? It doesn't mean you can't go out and reward yourself every once in a while, but don't make it your life's mission, all right? If you, let's say you're into carpentry and you got an old drill and you're like, oh man, I need a new, well, this one's still working, but I need a new drill. Go buy yourself that new drill for $100, okay? That's a reward. Don't go try and have this illusion of buying some Lamborghini or something ridiculous like this. But little rewards help you throughout life. Life is tough. Life is hard. It's supposed to be that way. But you're also supposed to be enjoying yourself. Do you think Christ walked around Galilee and Jerusalem miserable? Right, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did he walk around miserable with, oh God, I gotta go do this again. Oh my God, huffing and puffing around. No.
Yeah. Well, no. Isaac means children or sons of laughter.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself, guys. Okay. You're allowed to go listen to a band play somewhere. You're allowed to go do that. Okay. You're allowed to celebrate a birthday party if you want to, but there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. All I'm saying, figure it out. You're grown adults, figure it out. And again, I'll reiterate this one more time. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm not trying to be a mean person or anything like this, but guys, we as a people, we need to wake up and think about Chronicles 7:14. Straighten out, turn back to the Father, and He'll heal our land. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line, Dan.
Oh yeah.
Thanks, Dan, for providing the platform here today. I hope people got something out of it. I know I got something out of it. I learn something new every day because I strive to learn something new every day. Straighten your lives out. Be happy, be joyful, and be ready when the time comes.
Very good, buddy. Yahweh bless. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good day, everybody.
Yep. Take good
care. Enjoy your life. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that's Keith joining us out there from the West Coast. And A lot of material, ran a little bit long, so I'll probably only play a couple songs at the end here. And dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that this message will reach the ears of those that are meant to hear it. We pray for your coming to be soon and put an end to this dystopic world that we live in. And we just pray for your spirit to wash over our people, as it says in Ezekiel, and take them from the state of dead and dry bones into living creatures again, spiritual creatures that we were meant to be from the beginning. Let this poor earth not suffer under the heel of the corporatocracy that just is driven by greed and profit. We have a lot to learn. We have a lot to change, Father, and with your help, we'll make those changes. And we just pray that you'd walk with us and guide us. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings and help us to be better men and women in the image of our Father, Yahweh, and that we can help those that will listen to us down here. And to that end, Father, we ask your blessing upon us and also that you would protect us from our enemies. And we pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
There's a man who leads a life of bondage to the federal government. He pays his homage. Seems the more he tries to make, the more they tax and take. Odds are he won't live to pay his mortgage. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen, well, they've issued you a number for which you signed your name. Back when we were strangled by depression, while FDR was selling out the nation, there was devised an evil scheme. It was a wicked tyrant's dream. Nine numbers now that chain you to their system. A U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you've signed your name.
In March of 1933, President FDR declared the bankruptcy of a private corporation known as the Federal U.S. Government. In order to con the American people into paying this fraudulent debt, he set up the Social Security Act. When you sign your Social Security card, you unwittingly become a federal U.S. citizen, pledging your life, liberty, and property as surety for a debt you don't owe. In other words, you become a federal debt slave to your federal master, Uncle Samuel.
Now don't despair, there is a sure solution. Sure to start a righteous reformation. You can refuse to play their game. We send the number off your name. Just file the forms and drop out of the system. U.S. citizen, U.S. citizen. Well, they've issued you a number for which you signed. Now you don't have to play their game. Don't let the fraud enslave your name. Resend the number off your name.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America. the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. And see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.